Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. Welcome to the Heal It Show, where we do our very best to give you alternative ways to heal whatever ails you, whether it's mental, emotional, physical, or spiritual. You know, it's been said scientifically that faith healing is unexplained, it's incomprehensible, and yet it works. Why does it work? Is it the power of the mind? Is it the power of God? Is it a combination? Is it the healer that's helping you heal? Is there something else going on that we're not attuned to that is getting incredible healing to, you know, literally millions of people have been healed by faith healing over the years. And yet, scientifically, we can't figure it out. Why is that? Well, today, we're going to be talking a little bit about that, and most importantly, helping you to step into that part of yourself that can really heal anything, whether it's a little broken finger or whether it's something going on internally with your stomach or your heart, your back, your legs, your neck, anything, right? It is possible for you. In fact, today, I have a very special guest who's been helping people to heal themselves for, about 5 decades now. Yeah, 5 decades. So I'm so excited to get this show on the road. So I'm going to take a quick break. But when we come back, I'm going to bring in my guest. And you will be amazed as to who this is today. All right, here we go.
Are you ready to transform your life and get what you really want? Hi, this is Kendi Foster, and over the past 30 years, I've helped thousands of people change the course of their lives by doing one special thing daily. This is the foundation of my latest book, The Courage to Change Everything. It is the ultimate guide to awakening the transformative power within you to get what you want. In this book, I'll teach you exactly how to unlock your hidden potential, break through your limitations, and get what you want, no matter what's happening in the economy or things beyond your control. So why wait? Get your copy of The Courage to Change Everything right now at couragetochange.us. That's couragetochange.us. There's no risk to you if you're not fully satisfied that this book has supported you in getting what you want, just to return it for a full refund. Are you ready to take charge of your health and well-being? UK Health Radio is your ultimate digital destination for cutting-edge health information and inspiration. At UK Health Radio, we know that good health is not merely the absence of disease, but a state of complete physical, mental, and emotional well-being. Tune in to our wide range of expert-led shows where renowned health professionals share about the latest research, practical tips, and inspiring stories that will motivate you to live your healthiest life. Don't settle for anything less than vibrant health. Tune in to UKHealthRadio.com, the world's number one talk health radio and podcast platform.
Welcome back, everybody, and I have a very special guest. As I mentioned, her name is Sarah O'Meara. Sarah, welcome to the show. It's so good to have you.
Thank you so much, Ken. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, you know, you and I, this is kind of a new friendship for us, but I feel like an old soul friendship also, because I felt very connected to you when I first met you. And let me share just a little bit with my audience, a little bit about your background. Sarah's life was profoundly changed as a young woman when she was diagnosed with terminal cancer and given 3 weeks to live. So she sat in her hospital bed and she thought, I'm not ready to die. And apparently God was listening. While still in the hospital, Sarah was miraculously led to by God to attend a world-renowned evangelist, Catherine Coleman's service at the Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles, where she was completely healed and given the gift of healing herself. So Sarah is also the co-founder, chairman, and CEO of Child Help, which includes the oversight of the 60-year-old organization, which exists to meet the physical, emotional, educational, and spiritual needs of abused, neglected, and at-risk children. She also has a new book out, and we're going to be talking about that. It's Healed, Your Miracle Awaits, which is launched last September. Yeah, so just came out. So a number one bestseller on Amazon today and has been since launching. So it's great to have you, Sarah.
Thank you, Ken. It's great to be here.
Sarah, I kind of like to just take a little dive into your early years, you know, leading up to the cancer, the miraculous healing, meeting Catherine Coleman. What was going on there?
Well, we, Yvonne Feddersen and I, founded an organization called International Orphans Incorporated. It was a happenstance. We were actresses and we were in Korea and Okinawa and Japan doing a show for the servicemen. And at that time, a typhoon came and we walked out to see the devastation that occurred from the typhoon. And in so doing, found 11 children huddled together to fend off the cold. They had no shoes on, no coats. And we rushed up to them to ask them where their mama-sans were. And they said, no mama-sans, no papa-sans. So after a lot of investigation with these children, which we took back to our hotel, we found out they were half American, half Japanese children known as throwaways. And because no one would take them, the orphanages would not take them. They said, they're not ours, Japan. And America said, they're not ours. So we ended up starting a little orphanage, and that little orphanage grew to hundreds of children. We came back to the States and began International Orphans Incorporated, and through that built orphanages, four orphanages for the half American, half Japanese child. So that's how we got into what now is known as Child Help USA. Now, Child Help began in Japan, but then we were asked by Congress to go and do the same thing in Vietnam, which we did. And then when the Vietnam War came to an end, we brought children back to this country that were adopted. We thought that was the end of that, and we had done our work for God. And then we found out that Nancy Reagan and our president asked that we go into doing more for children right here, that child abuse was absolutely rampant in this country and nobody was doing anything about it. Laws had to be changed, etc. So we did do that. Actually, the Reagans were the ones that gave us the first check to do a feasibility study and supported us from henceforth. We now have helped over 12 million children. So child abuse, happens every 15 seconds in the United States. Every 15 seconds, a child is reported abused. So it is an epidemic. It has not gotten any better. If anything, it's gotten worse. And, you know, we're as good as our next generation to help these children, because they're our citizens of tomorrow, and we need to turn that around, and that's what we've been working on, Ken.
Well, that turning around piece is critical, I think, not only to the children, but the children are our future, but for all of us. You know, I think the country has lost their way. A lot of folks don't know the meaning of life. They don't know really the purpose of life. They've, they watch a lot on TV and think that that's reality. And yet we have a country that, like you said, child abuse in this country is maybe at an all-time high. And we thought, you know, it would be getting better and better as technology has helped increase, you know, comfort and what we're doing. But for some reason, it hasn't. Why do you believe that it hasn't, Sarah?
Because I think we have such moral decay in our country, especially right now. I do think people are waking up because they have to. They know that there's no other answer but God, because he's the only one that can win this battle. I do think that the people that abuse children are very ignorant in many different ways, how to handle children, how to handle their own emotions, and also just plain rightful people, people that want to do good, people that want to care and love for their children. We've lost so much of that in our country. There's only one reason, Ken. It's because people have gotten away from God. One person took prayer out of our schools. One. If one person can do that for the nation, one person can fight for good and fight for our children and fight for God to come back in our country. And we have to stand up. We have to be a part of God's army to do right and bring back. Look what happened to Rome. Same thing's happening to us. And why? Because of our moral decay. And moral decay happens because God has taken out of everything. We have to get God back into our country. I just read this morning in the news that our governor in Arizona will not allow the Ten Commandments to be put up in the government buildings. We have known that. They have taken them out. But I think other people are trying to put them back in. They're trying to get God back into our country. But we have to keep trying. We cannot give up. We have to stand up for good and for right and for God.
Well, you know what I love about the Ten Commandments is that as a student of many religions, right, I've studied a lot of seven major religions all have versions of the Ten Commandments. And instead of taking out the Ten Commandments, you know, because of whatever reason, why don't we add the different the religions? Because it's all about the same, you know. It's about loving your neighbor. It's about not killing, not stealing, you know, being kind, forgiving, you know. I mean, it's, you know, honoring mothers and fathers. You know, all nations, all cultures have religion. And in those religions, they're, you know, at the core of religion is God. And God might express God differently in words in different religions, but God is at the core. And so, you know, that would be my solution. So I just think you're right on with the decay, moral decay. And unfortunately, what happens with moral decay is that people are suffering a lot. They're suffering mentally, emotionally, physically, and spiritually as a result of not living their values, not living living from a source of truth. You know, God is true. The word of God is true. So if we're not living in truth, then we're living on the opposite side of that. And if you, and I know personally, living on the opposite side of that creates pain and misery and suffering, not just for oneself, but for your family and for your community. So it's time to step that up. Listen, I'm going to take a quick break. And when I get back, we're going to take a little deeper dive into the healing side of this. So we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5 star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ETHOS.com. Application times and rates may vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back, everybody. Before I get back to my guest, Sarah O'Meara, I want to just mention this. We have a YouTube page up there for the Heal It Show, and I encourage you to go over there and subscribe to it so that you never miss a show. These shows are powerful. They're moving. They're shows that I encourage you to pass on to your family, your friends, those that you love. And we try to bring guests that have realized wisdom, realized knowledge, and they're not just talking about it. They've actually realized what they're talking about, and others around them can testify to that. So hope you pass it on. All right, back to my guest, Sarah O'Meara. Sarah, okay, you know, you let's talk about a little bit about that medical diagnosis that you had and how that led you to Catherine Coleman. And where you received the profound healing that changed your life. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, yes. That was a favorite day in my life, actually. I'm glad I had cancer because it led me so much closer to God. But I didn't realize at the time, I had never been to a healing service. I was a Presbyterian Sunday school teacher and had been a Presbyterian all my life. And I think at that time, particularly in my life, people in churches did not believe that much in healing because they thought it was only in Jesus's time, which he very, very plainly says, greater things can ye do. And that's what he told his disciples, greater things can ye do than I. And so if we believe the Bible, we have to believe it all. When I was told that I had such a short time to live because cancer was riddled throughout my body and they had tried it through surgery to get it all but could not, I was young. I had two small children and I was raising them by myself. And all of a sudden, the television was on and there was a dynamic woman that came on and said, I believe in miracles because I believe in God. You be at the Shrine Auditorium this Sunday for God's healing power. Well, I didn't care what it was. It sounded great to me. And boy, I was going to be there. I was not supposed to get out of the hospital until Monday. Her service was on Sunday. So I begged the doctor to get out, told him I had a lot of people to administer to my needs and that I would promise I would not move because he said, if I moved, I could bleed to death because at that time they had clamps, not stitches. And if you moved a lot, you could start bleeding from the incision. Although I promised not to move, I kept my fingers crossed under the sheets, and I knew I had to be there. I called ahead to ask if people that were really ill, terminally ill, had a specific place they could go in to sit. And they told me the special door for that, and I was there exactly at the time that they told me to be. A friend of mine had dropped me off at the curb to park the car and come back to join me. But when I banged on the door to get in, since it was closed, they said, we're so sorry, but it's full. We can't take one more person in because of the fire laws. And so I was extremely disappointed. I had been filled with hope. And as I was walking back to tell my friend to go back and get the car, Someone recognized me that knew me from Child Help and said, "What in the world are you doing here, Sarah?" And I said, "Well, I don't feel well, and I'd hope to get in, but it's filled." And she said, "I came out to get a sweater for my car because it's cool inside, and my husband and I are seated, and we're going to give you our seats today." So my friend and I walked up hundreds of steps. If you've been to the Shrine Auditorium in Los Angeles, I'm telling you, they do not have an elevator, or did not at that time, and you had to walk up so many steps. And as I was walking, I realized I was stepping in my own blood. And I was getting very weak. Their seats were on the top balcony. And so as I walked up, I realized I was bleeding more and more. And as I plopped down, fortunately, on the end seat of the aisle, immediately almost, my body lifted up, I felt, on top of the ceiling. I was floating, and I realized it was like in a pink cloud. And I knew she was speaking, but I did not administer the words to my mind. I just knew she was talking. But I thought, I'm either dying or I'm hallucinating. As it went on, then I heard very clearly, "There is a wonderful healing going on in the balcony. And this is a girl that had cancer riddled throughout her body, and God is healing her completely." At that time, I came down to my seat, and as I did, the Holy Spirit was all over me, shaking me so much that it really knocked down the entire row where I was sitting. Catherine then stopped her service and came back and said, "This girl will know it because it's like 1,000 needles going through her body at this time. And God has saved you for a very special purpose." Never having been to a service like that, I prayed to God, could I possibly be the one? As I said that, she came back and she said, "The girl is sitting on the last balcony in the first row in a red dress." And I had on a red, white, and blue dress, but predominantly red. Then she said, "Come down and tell us what God has done for you." So the ushers came over and saw all the commotion and said, "Aren't you the one being healed?" And I said, "Well, I think so." And so they said, "Come on down." And I thought, "Oh, I don't know if I want to do that." And when I said that, it was a voice as clear as I'm talking to you that said, "You mean I would do this for you and you would deny me?" Mm-hmm. And boy, I popped up. And it was like hot oil going all over my body. It wasn't, but that's what it felt like. Yeah. And as I walked down the steps, I realized the bleeding had stopped and my entire energy had come back. So I glided down the steps, but I was in the back of the auditorium at the end of the aisle. And then people were being healed and they couldn't wait to get up to Catherine. And I said to God, "You see, I'm here. I'm here willing to do it, but I'll never get up there. All these people want to get up there." At that point, Catherine came over to the end of the aisle. She pointed way, way back at me and she said, "Let that girl through that is in that red dress. The glory of God is all over." If you've ever heard Catherine, she was very dramatic. And that's the way she spoke because that's just who she was. And I did go up and I did give my testimony exactly as God had healed me. And then Catherine had her usher ask me for my phone number and she said she wanted to call me. She asked me to be on her show, her national television show. And at that point, she asked me to work with her. And so I organized the Shrine Auditorium services when she would come to L.A. I lived in L.A. at that time, not Arizona. And so she and I became quite close, and she asked me to go with her to the Holy Land, which I did, and I was healed on February 20th. Catherine came back from the Holy Land visit, which was a phenomenal visit, and together, and several weeks later, she passed away on February 20th. She made such a difference in my life in bringing God closer. And also, I never knew about the healing gift. And when she told me I had it, I really thought she was talking about the healing of children, because we had just built the very first village in the United States for abused children. So it did not really dawn on my consciousness. And after she died, Yvonne and I toured everywhere to try to find a healing service like Catherine. Now, I'm not saying they were not valid, but I didn't feel the same strength of the Holy Spirit. And out of the blue, Danny Thomas and Rosemary were friends of mine. And Rosemary called one day and she said, I have a priest sitting in our living room that has come to visit from Massachusetts, and he wants to meet you. And I said, why would he want to meet me? And she said, because he had heard about Catherine, and she died before he knew her, but he's been trying to find out people that were close to her to find out about her. And he keeps getting your name. So when he found out that Danny and I knew you, he asked if we'd have you over. And I did go over, and he and I talked like magpies. And then as he left, he said, I want you to take me to the hotel tomorrow. I mean, to the airport tomorrow.
It's on my brain.
I like that. That's it. Anyway, what happened from that henceforth, when I said I don't happen to be Catholic, and he said, because he wanted me to come and have Eucharist with him the next morning. And I said, I don't happen to be Catherine, Father DiOrio. He said, well, what difference does that make? I said, well, none to me, but I thought it would to you. He said, you be here. So then he left on the airplane. He said, I don't know how, but I feel I'm being led to tell you that we're going to be working together. And I thought, boy, that's a trick, because he lives in Massachusetts. I live in L.A. I'm Protestant. He's Catholic. Well, it ended up that his bishop, when he got off the plane, told him he was going to be sent back to California to stay about 3 months to do healing services, because he was a tremendous vessel for healing. And he asked me to work with him like I did with Catherine at his services. I did, felt the same strength of the Holy Spirit, loved it, loved him. And then when he went back after the 3 months, he kept telling me, you know, you have that gift of healing. And I said, yes, isn't that wonderful? And then when I went to Massachusetts to do a service with him, he did something very different. It was like a workshop, and there were thousands of people there. And he told them that if they had come there and did not receive a healing at the healing services, he would pray for them individually. And he said, Sarah O'Mara is going to pray with you over on the other side of the podium. Well, I rushed up to him and I said, Father DiOrio, don't do that to me. Nobody will want me. It's like dirt and ice cream. Don't you? And I was arguing with him, and he told the usher to take me over there. Well, I stood there and I prayed, God, please don't let anybody be in my line. Please don't let, I can't do anything. Oh, please. And then I got my wish. Nobody was in my line. He had a big, long snake line. And then it was so embarrassing. I was just standing up there and I said, well, God, maybe one. Well, the one was in the very, very back. You could see him readily. He was like 6'5". He was bending over, obviously, with his family. There were two children and his wife there. And here they came. And I said, oh, God, please help something to happen. He came up to me and said, will you pray for me? And I said, what's wrong with you, sir? And he said, I have an inoperable cancerous tumor. It was as big as a lemon. I mean, it was huge. There's no way you could miss it. And so I put my hand on his chest to pray with him, and I couldn't think of a prayer. I was so scared. I said, dear God, pray, please just heal this man. That's all I could think of. And it was enough because they started screaming. My eyes flew open, and I got to see the healing. If I'd said anything more, I maybe would have missed it. I saw it completely go down. Well, it shocked me more than it did anybody else. But because the end of the Father DiGiorgio's line saw me and what had happened, they came over. I prayed for people an hour and a half that night. And about, I don't know, maybe 75% of them were healed. I was really shocked God was using me in that way. Father DiGiorgio sent the ushers to get me backstage. And he said, now, do you believe me? And I said, yes, I do. He said, well, what are you going to do about it? And I said, well, I'm going to pray for anybody that ever asked me. He said, that's a good start. But when I came home, my answering service, it was a tape back then, was filled with people that had heard what happened that was or in the California area. And I then began to pray. I prayed for a whole group of nuns over the phone, and they claimed they were healed of arthritis. And then every 30 minutes at night, I would pray for people at my house because I was doing child help work during the day. And that began to be a lot because I couldn't get people in. And a man was healed from Michigan that was happened to be a developer. And he said, you can't keep doing this in your living room, and I'm going to build you a chapel. He did, and from then henceforth, it had been healed. I mean, it had been filled. So then we were led by God to move to Arizona, and I was told to build a chapel. And I said, I don't know anybody here. I should wait until I get to know people. And I was told, no, build a chapel. I did, and it has been filled ever since. So I do healing services once a month, except in the summer. And indeed, God is using me as a conduit. I have no healing power, and it's very important that people know that. It is God's power. It's the Holy Spirit that's healing, not Sarah O'Meara. I'm merely a vessel that he chose to use in this way. But it's very exciting.
I have a question for you. What is the difference between someone that gets a healing and someone that doesn't?
I want to tell you, sir, that's the biggest question of everybody, and it's my biggest question. I do not know who God is going to heal. I pray and have faith for that healing to take place, because trust and faith becomes a magnet for healing. So I try to lift their faith in order to receive their healing. But I know a lot of people with tremendous faith that are not healed. And I also have known people that if I were humanly to judge, I would not think that they were necessarily close to God the way they live their life, and they are healed. So the determination of who is going to be healed and who isn't is strictly up to God. And I am not God, so I do not know why some people are healed and some are not.
So God is the doer. As a result of Father DiGiorgio and Catherine Coleman helping you to see the gift that God gave you to heal, what's happened over the last 50 years for you? All these people getting healed, how's that happening?
Well, if there's an answer, it all is up to God. But the reason people come for healings, of course, is so that they can live. Many people with stage 4 cancer come all the time. And all the time, cancer's always healed in every service I have, all kinds. I had a man recently that shocked me. He was born with a leg shorter than the other, and the leg, I called out backs for healing, and he stood up as one of those that was receiving a back healing. And I found out that I had said, there is somebody here that's receiving a back healing that also has a hip connected with it. Well, because of his short leg, his back was out of whack, and he his hip had to go into place. But his leg grew out. And he was there at this last service too. And he said, you know, I'm having a difficult time walking with complete balance, and my leg is the same because I'm not used to it. All my life, I have walked like this. And he said, my back is fine. My hip is fine. My legs are. But he said, it's strange to me because this man is 70 years old. And he had always walked that way.
So prior to coming to the little chapel the second time, I had taken a very serious fall. I was walking very briskly, and I tripped, and my back, as I turned, my back went into the leg of a table. And I'm not sure if I bruised my ribs or they were cracked, but it was painful, and it kept getting more and more painful. So about 2 weeks into that pain, I attended a little chapel, and I believe, Sarah, you called out people with back issues, and I stood up. I have to tell you, as I stood up, the pain disappeared. Maybe by the time I got to my feet, it was gone. And then I heard this little voice that said, don't doubt. And I sat back down, and of course, I wanted to check if the pain was there, but I decided not to. And then I went to lunch afterwards, and there was no pain. And a few days later, I reflected on it, and I thought to myself, wow, that did heal in the instant. And my body could have healed it maybe in a couple of weeks. I don't know. Maybe it would have been chronic, but I do know this. It was healed in the instant that day.
And God wanted you to know that he's there. What I was going to say originally is the healing of the body is wonderful, but what it does for the healing of the soul is the main thing. I really think that God heals us so we will know how much he loves us unconditionally. And many people come to the little chapel not in need of the healing of their body, but a healing of their soul. They want to get closer to God. There are all kinds of healings. I mean, there's heartbroken people that come that are healed. We have wonderful testimonies about people that have had depression, are planning on suicide. And so it's not all just healing of a body part, but the end result of every healing is what it does for the soul. And that's what makes me the happiest, because I see people change like I would never believe they would change when they see God.
Well, I have to take a break. So when we get back, we'll get more insights from Sarah. But I do want to let you know that you can find her at The Little Chapel. And you can also find her book, her new book, Healed, Your Miracle Awaits, on Amazon. We'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5-star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Ken D. Foster. I'm the host here of the Heal It Show. I'm speaking with Sarah O'Meara. She is the pastor at the Little Chapel in Scottsdale, Arizona. You can find her at thelittlechapelaz.org, thelittlechapelaz.org. And when I was at that service, I think there were 60 plus people that actually healed that day. When are the services, Sarah?
My next service is May 5th, and it's my last service for the summer. And then we meet again in September. And all of the dates for the fall are listed. Everything you want to know about the Little Chapel, you can find out by the Little Chapel AZ for Arizona, thelittlechapelaz.org.
Well, the book is Healed, Your Miracle Awaits. Sarah, why did you write that book?
Well, I think it's because he wants to expand people's faith. I think he wants people to know how much he loves us and that Christ gave his life for us. And the ultimate purpose of divine healing is to magnify the works of God and to give glory to God. And when you see the difference of people when they walk in the service and walk out, you can see the glory of God all over them because they see God in action. And I have to tell you, the last service, there were over 60 healings that happened. And there were so many people that found God actually for the first time, because I asked them to hold up their hand if they had really given their life to God, recommitted it to be in God's army. And I think practically the whole place put their hands up. And I will tell you, we have to turn away quite a few people. But interestingly enough, I built an extended chapel that will open for the first time on May 5th, that will seat 50 more people. So I'm very happy about that, so that we won't have to turn as many people away.
Well, I just love that. You can find Sarah O'Meara's new book, Healed, Your Miracle Awaits, on Amazon.
I'd like to say one more thing about that book. Do you know that people are being healed by reading the book? They don't even have to come to the service. My services are taped and we are going to start streaming I think probably the fall.
Sarah, when people have chronic illnesses, what's the key to their healing? Is it just showing up?
Show up and have faith. Believe God in action. Believe you're going to be healed. It's very interesting because many people are healed on the way to the service. They're not even near me. They're not near the little chapel. But it's because they are expecting a healing. And their faith has been built up so strong. They get it before they come. Many people get it when they walk through that door. Many people get it during the service. Many people get it then during the healing part. Many people get it after they leave. A lot of people don't even realize they're healed. Like if they have an impairment and could not lift their arm or something and they leave, they don't even know they've been healed, which is something. But then they write me and tell me, I was healed during that service. I've never been able to lift my arm above my shoulder. And I realized after I left the service, I could. So the healings happen. And I think one of my extended chapels has a television set. It's in another building on the property. And as many people get healed over there as they do in the sanctuary. So I think it's proof that I don't do it. God is the one. God, it's you must give the credit to God because that's where it belongs.
You know, a lot of people heal on the way to the doctor. Is this kind of the same as on the way to the temple or on the way to God?
Well, I just want to tell everyone that God loves you a lot more than you ever would believe, and he is there for you. In fact, if you don't feel him, who do you think moved? God is there for every one of us, but he's just waiting for us to commit ourselves to him, to put him first. Let him take our problems. And how you can reach the little chapel is the little chapel, like you said, az.com. There's not a dot after the little chapel. It's the little chapel, az.com.
Well, we're just about out of time here. I want to remind you to connect with Sarah at childhelp.org, or you can go to the little chapel, az.org, or you can get the new book, Healed, Your Miracle Awaits, on Amazon. Hope you'll check them out.
Thank you, Ken, so much, and God bless you.
I want to thank all of you for joining us, and I hope you'll pass this show on to those that are in your life that could use some upliftment. And be sure to follow us on YouTube, and have a blessed week. Take care.